Welcome to the Mother Days. I'm Teresa Palmer.
Hello, hello. I'm Sarah Wright Olson. Hi, daisies.
Hi, guys. We have a bit of a different episode today. We might do a trigger warning here. We're going to be talking about loss. And this was not the episode we thought we'd be putting out now, but it's really important to share this. And we, you know, at the Mother Days, we really pride ourselves on being vulnerable and open and being as revealing as possible and showing you guys the highs, showing you guys the lows, and letting you in on this human experience that we are sharing. So today's going to be vulnerable, but it's going to be a really beautiful episode. So I'm going to let Sarah take it from here.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'll piggyback off of what you said, Teresa. When we were discussing this, you know, over the last couple of weeks, I was thinking a lot about how that being part of this community is so special. And part of the reason why it's so special is because we get to share in each other's joy, and we get to tell stories, and we get to listen, and we get to grow and learn. And there's so much magic and beauty and just amazing things that come from that. But what also is at the same time is that there is grief and loss of expectation and pain that lives with all of us. There's not one person in the world that doesn't experience loss in some way or grief in some way. And so I think it's a very vulnerable thing to have conversations as they're happening. But I also feel like it's really important at the same time. And so that's why today I chose to go ahead and have this conversation with all of you, because part of being a human being is experiencing love and loss and grief and joy and all of these things at the same time. So right now we're going to take you to the moment where we together experienced immense joy. And it was a way in which we were going to show all of you and surprise everyone with this message. And then afterwards, we're going to talk through the couple of weeks after that. So we'll go to that moment now. You know, Tez, there's one thing that I actually wanted to just add to the story. So one of the reasons why the whole situation with like my biopsy and all of that was so intense is because Eric and I wanted to try to start having, you know, a baby.
That's right.
And so it was like a lot because we had tried for the first time. And so I was like, what if, like, if I'm pregnant, then like I would have to get a surgery and then I have to go through the mammogram and there's radiation and like, what do I do? And there's just like, it added like a whole other layer that was so intense. So like the day before that I found out the results for the biopsy, I actually found out that I was pregnant.
What? Oh my god, she pretended she wasn't to me. Oh my god, I'm crying. Oh my god.
The entire week I've been waiting.
Oh my god, I'm crying. Sarah.
Oh, there's so many. You're so cute.
Just watching that again, Sarah, is so, oh, I feel really raw. Like I'm cracked open. I'm back in that moment. I was sitting in this exact spot that I'm in right now when you shared that with me. And it was such a wild way to tell me Sarah had actually not shared. I was asking her. I was like, hey, have you tested yet? Hey, did you get the clear blue, like the very specific, the first response pregnancy test? Like you'd probably have a line by now. And she's like, yeah, no, nothing. Little did I know.
I used an old one. I don't know, nothing. Yeah. And I was just like saving it because I really wanted to share it in this way with Teresa. And you know, it's kind of interesting that this episode is coming now after the episode where we talked about the biopsy and everything, because this is all happening at the same time. So actually that was recorded at the end of the biopsy episode. Because the Monday, so I found out about the biopsy, like I found out that it was all clear on a Tuesday, but I actually found out that I was pregnant on a Monday and on the Monday right before that. So I had a whole 24 hours of like, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant. And now I'm waiting to hear, am I going to get like a negative or positive? Is it going to be benign? Like, you know, all those things. And so, you know, I actually went to lunch with Eric and was thinking, am I going to tell him here? Like, how am I going to tell him? And I sat at this lunch in this beautiful place with him and we were talking about like, you know, I think I told you guys the story last time that we were talking about like, you know, what does this make you feel? And, you know, he said, oh, it makes me feel like I want to live life more simply and like just be together and cuddle and be cozy with the kids. And I actually said to him, which I left this out before, but I said to him, and have more babies. And he said, yes. And I said, well, good, because I'm pregnant. And that's how I told him that I was pregnant. And so then I was like, you know, I was like nervous to say anything because I just like, I didn't want to like have you worrying for the next 24 hours, you know, because he was like, so my rock through that whole experience. And he was like, oh my God, like I want to be with you in this, all of this. And, you know, this, like, this feeling that you're having, these nerves of like, what's the answer going to be? And, you know, the whole day where we were waiting the next day and all of that. We also were simultaneously carrying the fact that I had just gotten a positive pregnancy test. So the moment, you know, after that whole day of waiting, and then he, you know, texted the doctor and finally got a message back from the doctor that everything was all clear. He got that message, and we were both just looked at each other and we were like, oh my God, we're having a baby. and it was amazing, right? Yes, we started laughing. We could not stop laughing. And like, we told the kids and everything. And so, and it was really beautiful. Like, we had a couple of weeks of just this like beautiful time where we were talking about this like fourth child coming into our world, and like, you know, the kids are so excited about sibling, and you know, is it going to be a boy, is it going to be a girl, like everybody's just, and it's early in pregnancy, right? So it's like 4 weeks, but I don't know, I just kept having this feeling of like, I'm not going to not talk about it. I'm going to tell it to like my friends and, you know, my family. And so, you know, we talked about it very openly. And I even remember like running into someone and the person was like, I'm pregnant. And I was like, me too. And I was like, but I'm like 5 minutes pregnant, not like, you know, whatever. I was like, I just found out like yesterday. That. The stick is wet.
The moment and, I have two lines, I'm like, everybody in the world, guess what?
Exactly. And the only reason why I didn't tell the daisies yet is because I just wanted to like wait and share this like amazing episode, you know, and where we could like tell you guys in this way and save it for the new year. And so then, you know, I guess I'll like cut to the day of Thanksgiving. So so it's Thanksgiving morning and Eric's family's in town and we're all going to go over to Dave and Danny's house. And I had been feeling like really tired, but also like really excited about the holidays and celebrating with everyone. And I woke up early that morning, like 5 o'clock in the morning, and started going in and prepping. And I was like, you know, chopping up vegetables. And I felt really festive. I was like wearing like a festive dress and sweater and like apron and the whole thing. And I just felt a lot of, you know, joy and stuff, even though I was tired. And I remembered saying to Eric's mom, because she came in to help me around six something, seven, something like that. And she was like, you know, what can I do? And so I was kind of giving her little tasks and stuff to do with some of the food. And then I kept saying like, I really need to go pee, but I'm just going to finish this. And I kept coming into my head, like, I really need to go pee. And so I was like, okay, I got to go to the bathroom and then we'll move on to the next thing. And so I walked back into the bedroom, and Winter, you know, she kind of follows me everywhere. And so as I'm walking into the bedroom and heading into the bathroom, I feel this like warm rush, and I go immediately. I say, "Oh no!" And I sat on the toilet and I wiped, and it was like dark blood. And Winter was there with me, and she goes, "Oh no!" And I said, "Winter, can you go get Dad?" And so she ran to get Dad, and he came back, and he came in and he looked at me, and I knew that he knew, like, we just looked at each other, and I was like, it's blood on the toilet paper. It's blood. I'm bleeding. And he was like, okay, what we were just kind of like talking through like what to do. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, I had a pregnancy loss before, but it was so different. It was like, I had gone to the doctor and they told me there was no heartbeat. And, this was like, you know, I was only like barely 6 weeks pregnant. And so even though I had been living with this like pregnancy for, you know, 2.5 weeks or whatever it was, I hadn't actually been to the doctor to see an ultrasound yet. I had just gone to like get my progesterone checked and my like levels and everything, which everything was good when I went in to do that. And so the ultrasound was actually coming up in like a week or so. And so a few days before that, it was like maybe 4 or 5 days before that, I had actually had a little bit of spotting, and it was very, very like light pink spotting and then some brown. And I was like, ah, this is a little weird. Like, I couldn't remember if I had had that, but then Eric was like, yes, I think we did have that with Wyatt. And so I was like, okay. And I texted Teresa about it, and I texted, you know, Nikki and Beati. I was just like writing a few friends just to be like, oh, I had some spotting. Like, you know, as much as Teresa and I research all of the stuff about motherhood and pregnancy, when we're in it, we just automatically reach out to our community. It's like, I immediately go to my husband, like, it's as if nothing has ever been learned in my brain. And I'm like, Eric, what does this mean? You know, or like, Teresa, what does this mean? And Eric's always my like guide, you know, he like guides me through life with everything. And so I'm like, you know, I reach out to him. I'm like, I looked at him like, I don't know what this means. And so, of course, like, you know, to me, I was like, that's interesting. But then this was different. So like on Thanksgiving, when I started bleeding, it was different. It was like a rush, and it wasn't a lot, but it was significant enough. And then it was like dark blood. So I was like, okay, it's dark. Like, is that bad? And so then it was like, then it got lighter, and then I was just like Googling it, you know, and I knew that women, some women bleed during pregnancy. And so some women bleed for the entire first trimester. So I was reading about that, and I was like, gosh, it's just so hard to know what this means, because it's not like I could just take a test and say, yes, for sure, this is your pregnancy loss, or yes, for sure, you're fine and still pregnant. It's not like you can pee on a pregnancy test and get a line, two lines, and one of them is like, no, this is maybe not happening. You know what I mean? Like, there was just nothing that I could do that could sort of confirm.
And it was Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And it was Thanksgiving. So I couldn't go to the doctor. And I also wasn't even sure if my doctor was going to be open on Friday. And then they definitely aren't open Saturday, Sunday. So then I was like, I had this moment where I was like, am I going to have to wait until Monday to know for sure if this is like happening or not? And so I was just like, you know what? I have to put this, like, I can't dwell on this needing to know thing right now. Like, I think I just have to like keep going with today. And so I went back into the kitchen, and like at this point I hadn't said anything except to Eric. And so I was just still like cooking, and I could feel myself bleeding, and I put a pad on, and I was like, I'm still bleeding, you know, like, and it was just so interesting. I have to say, like, that whole day, every time I went to the bathroom, I just kept like wiping, hoping that it was going to be less or different, or like, you know, if it's like dark, is it going to be lighter? Is it not? Don't show me bright red. And then there's bright red, and then it's like dark again, and then it's brown. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is so hard to tell what's happening, you know, in my body. And like,
and did anyone else know, Sarah, like Eric's parents?
I think I had told his mom already in the kitchen as we were cooking, that it was happening. And I was like, I don't know what it means, but I just know that I'm bleeding right now. And so, and I, you know, Eric kept checking in with me, like, how do you feel? Do you want to stay here? Like, what do you want to do? Like, should we? And I was like, no, I still want to, I want to go to Thanksgiving. And we were bringing all this food, and like, I wanted to have that holiday and be with my kids and all of that. Right. And so I wasn't sure if I was going to like talk about it or not talk about it, but like, I was just kind of like allowing myself to like, I don't know, just be in it and lead with whatever came up. So we got there to my sister-in-law and brother-in-law's house. And I told my sister-in-law pretty much right away. Like, she was like, how are you? How are you feeling? And I I told her that I had started bleeding. And, you know, some of the people that were there knew, and I could feel their like love for me in that moment, because it was just such a confusing place to be in. And that's just like the where I felt was just very confused. I felt like in this place of unknown, and it was so familiar because I had just been in this place of unknown when I had had this like biopsy thing where I had had the biopsy and then I was waiting to get the results. Like I had just been living in this place of unknown, and I was like, am I back in this unknown spot again, you know? And so we talked to the kids about it too. We told them kind of what was going on, and, you know, Wyatt and Esme have been through a pregnancy loss with me before, before we had Winter. And so they both knew what it meant. And I just told them, like, I don't know if this is going to happen now or not, but, you know, it doesn't mean that it won't happen in the future. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. So as your kids get older, some things about parenting gets easier, right? So we're not up in the middle of the night a million times potentially, and they can start cleaning up after themselves. They can do some vacuuming and they can help out around the house. Okay, so then other things don't, like having conversations about money. Well, the fact is kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. And that is where Greenlight can help.
With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or recurring chores customized to your family's needs, and then you reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. I was thinking about this and I was like, oh, I remember being a child and my chore was I had to unload the dishwasher every day. Did I get pocket money, Sarah? No, I did not. Things are different these days. And millions of people and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It is the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together.
I feel like that knowledge is so empowering, and being able to give them this access is just going to make them feel so good when they go to purchase something or donate to a charity or whatever it is. So sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/motherdays. That's greenlight.com/motherdays to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/motherdays.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
So that evening, we had Thanksgiving, and at the end of the meal, I was just like, I think I need to go home. I just need to go home. I just kept having this feeling like I needed to be in my bed, and I just needed to like be with my feelings and everything. And Eric's mom looked at me and was like, I'm coming with you. And the kids were all watching a movie together. And so she was like, I'm coming with you. And then Eric was going to bring his dad and the kids right behind us. So so we jumped in the car together and drove back. And it was so nice that she came with me. And I had that like love and support from her. on the drive home. And then I got home and I showered and there was so much blood when I was in the shower. And I was just like, oh my God, like, is this just like a clear sign? And so I kept thinking, okay, so tomorrow I'm going to call the doctor, you know, and I'll find out, what's happening tomorrow morning. So Eric gets home and he got in bed and he just like held me. And I was like, how are you with all of this? You know? And he was like, I just keep looking at Winter. I just keep looking at her and thinking like she was our rainbow baby. Like she was this like magical baby that came to us. And after we had our loss, and he's like, and I just keep, you know, looking at her. And I was like, exactly. I do too. I keep thinking that like whatever happens, if it's now, if it's later, like, you know, it was just such an interesting, because he and I both had that instinct of just like really looking at her and thinking about that. And so the next morning, I call my doctor's office and they're not in for the whole holiday. So they're not going to be there that day, Saturday or Sunday. So I'm going to have to wait until Monday to get this confirmation. And I kind of knew that was going to happen. I just had this feeling. I was like, oh, like, I think I'm going to have to sit with this. And then, you know, Eric and his mom and dad and the kids and everybody, you know, there was other family in town and they were all talking about going to the beach. And so Eric asked me what I wanted to do. And I was like, I think I just want to like lay at home. I think I just want to be home and like lay here. And so I did. And like for 2 days, I stayed home really and spent part of the day, by myself. And it was an interesting time because I was sitting in a place of unknown, uncertainty, writing my friends and, you know, talking to Eric, like, what does this mean? Like, do you think, you know, this means this or that? I was still analyzing, like, okay, I was having blood clots and there were things that were happening and I was just like analyzing it all. But also at the same time, I was really sitting in this feeling of like, if it isn't happening, like, you know, like, why is this so sad? I think that was like part of it for me. It was like, why is it so sad? Why is there this heavy feeling? And I think that the reason is because there's this loss of expectation. You have envisioned this life with a new soul in it, and you've pictured their birth and their birthday and their siblings holding them and their name. And there's all these things that kind of come in, and you don't mean to get carried away, but like, that's just it. You know, you see those two lines and like an entire life flashes before your eyes. And I think that there was that moment when I was standing there on Thanksgiving morning when I was cutting the vegetables and I had this sensation like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. And I felt this whoosh happen where all of it just vaporized. Like all of it was gone. Everything that had sort of been thinking about and expecting and looking towards over the last 2 weeks, like disappeared. And I think that's why it's so sad. Like, no matter what stage you're at, you know, like in these early days of pregnancy, like having a loss, I think it's that it all kind of disappears in that moment. And so then you're sort of like rewriting this future where you're going like, wait, okay, so they're not going to be born in July and this isn't going to be their sign or like the, you know, vacation that maybe you were taking and then afterwards you were going to give birth or like whatever it is, like, you know, that you're piecing together in your mind. Like all of a sudden with like that moment, it's all gone. And then you're sort of left with like, for me, at least, I was left in this place of the unknown. And I was also sitting there contemplating, like, why am I in the unknown again? Like, I was here a couple weeks ago, and then I had this like roller coaster ride of like, whoa, now I'm pregnant. And then I got this good news of it being benign. And I was like, and now I'm back in a place of like an unknown. And I was wondering, like, what is it? Wonder what it means, or what lesson am I learning from this? Like, and I'm giving, you know, this place of like peaceful surrender and like uncertainty, and just sort of like living in that raw space of being unsure of everything. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was writing to Teresa during this time and like leaving her these voice memos and talking about this exact thing and just saying, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know why it's so sad or why I'm in this place of unknown. But at the same time, I also, where one part of me is saying it's feeling the sadness, the other part of me is like also feeling peaceful. Because I do feel that our body is really amazing and it knows when, I'll use Eric's like example, it knows when there's a really amazing foundation and it's ready to like build this whole body for the soul, right? And when maybe some things are not great in the foundation and we need to start over again. I also feel really lucky that I had a pregnancy loss before and then had a rainbow baby afterwards, because I think that there was something to that where it gives me like this beautiful sliver of hope where I'm sitting there like mm-hmm. in these days of unknown going, well, I can always try again, you know? And that's true. Like, you know, I can try again. And then I thought about the fact that I was probably going to share this story at some point with everyone. And I thought, I know that one thing for sure is that I don't want to wait until I have like this, and I don't know if you want to call it like the happy news or the pregnancy news or like whatever it is, because to me, it's not about like a happy ending or the happy news or any of that. It's like my news right now is just unfinished. There is no, I haven't written the end of the story. There is no end. It's an unfinished. And I think that part of experiencing and sharing and normalizing grief, because it is something that we are afraid of in this society, part of it is also sharing it when it's raw and it's happening and it's right now and it's current. And so as I'm sitting in it, or was sitting in it, thinking about it over those days a couple weeks ago, I was thinking about how I wanted to make sure that this was relayed and shared in a time in which maybe somebody out there is also experiencing this right now. Maybe mm-hmm. you've been through this before and you have, you know, are pregnant with your next baby and there's anxiety in that. Like maybe you haven't gotten pregnant again or whatever it is. And just sharing that, I don't know. It's just like part of the human experience is that grief is such a big part of life. And while there's grief, there's also so much joy and you feel them both so much more because of it.
Oh, I just wanted to touch on what you said about sort of the breakup of the dream. It's like the dream sort of disintegrated before your eyes with the shedding of the blood. And I was just looking at your text messages to me. I'm going to try not to cry. And you came to like the most beautiful place of self-love and
taking the time out to be with yourself and not pushing the feelings away, actually leaning into those feelings and the grief and the unknown. And I remember you told me, and I was on set and I literally ran back to my trailer and burst into tears because it just felt really unfair. It felt like you had just been through the unknown. We had been riding that roller coaster. We had this beautiful news and it was this, the story of, oh my gosh, the joy at the end of the uncertainty. And then here you were again, back on that same roller coaster. And I went into my trailer and I just like cried. And everyone's like, we need to give Teresa 10 minutes. Like, I'm like, I'll be out in a minute. And I started like processing all these feelings for you. And I just was like, I was so moved by the place that you landed in, the perspective that you had. And I think it was this thing of like, you were holding on to some hope and you sent me this message and it said, good morning, my love. No updates today, except less bleeding than yesterday. I really wish I had an intuition about it. My body wants to hold on to hope, even though there's been so much coming out of me. But I also don't feel pain either. It's hard not to wonder or question, did I work out too much? Should I have been more restful? But then I think of all the women who work full time in fields and never have a scan and they carry fine. And I look at Winter and I just look at her and wonder, does she know if the baby is there or not? And then I think, did my body just do what it needed to? And now there's nothing in there. But here's the thing. I'm not worried. And I'm not stressed. I'm just floating. I'm thinking, I'm tired, I'm being gentle, I'm resting, I'm eating mostly pie, I'm drinking tea, I'm sleeping great, I'm dreaming of random things and I'm just sitting here and waiting and laughing and snuggling and I'm with my kids and it's just this real sort of in between. It's this unreal in between. And you wanted to sort of give me that update. And it was this like beautiful place of presence and acceptance and nurturing and honoring yourself and your body and this baby and the highs and the lows. And I thought it was really remarkable. So I was able to move through my own, I think my first feeling was like, I was angry. I was angry. I was like, this isn't fair. And that message, your like acceptance made me be like, oh, it's okay. This is the human experience. This is a part of the ebbs and flows, the peaks and valleys that we always talk about. And Sarah's just there, arms wide open in full acceptance. And it was, I just thought it was really profound and really beautiful. And your perspective was just next level. And I wanted to bottle it all up and like give it as like the antidote to like all hard experiences.
Well, I'm so glad you read that actually, because it actually takes me just straight back to that moment. Floaty is such a great word for how I felt through those 4 or 5 days. Like I felt like I was floating. Like I didn't feel this overwhelming amount of sadness. I didn't feel pain. I wasn't cramping. Like I was bleeding and I was bleeding pretty heavily. But I just felt like I was floating. I was in this unknown and I kept looking at my kids and my husband and I was just like, you know, Eric and I were constantly checking in with each other. Like I knew he was in pain. I knew he was feeling sad. He knew that I was feeling sad. There were those things too, but we also were feeling so overwhelmed with gratitude. We were looking at our kids and we were so in love with each other and with our children. And just like, I kept saying, like, if there's the soul is meant for us, will come to us when the timing is right. But it was also okay for me to feel sad and feel that loss of expectation and feel those feelings that are so important in life. And Eric sent me this amazing, amazing podcast episode by Anderson Cooper, his second season of his grief podcast. And there's this first episode that he does with Francis Weller, and he's the author of The Wild Edge of Sorrow. And I highly recommend it for everyone, you guys. It just was so beautiful the way this man talks too. Like, I would love to have him on our podcast. But you reading that back to me actually really reminded me of, like, there's something that he talks about with grief. He talks about how you have to slow down. And he uses this analogy about water skiing and how, like, when you're water skiing really fast, you're like above the water. But then when you slow down, you really immerse yourself and you're in the depths of it. And it's so right. Like, slowing down was so important to feel everything. I could have, like, jumped in the car and gone on adventures with my kids and, like, really wrapped myself up in everything that was happening, you know, with the holidays and family and everybody that was in town. But that's not what my body was saying to do. Also, the next pillar with him, what he says is warmth. And what he means by that is, like, compassion, curiosity, self-love, and, like, you know, I did feel an overwhelming amount of sort of self-love and warmth. I was, like, wrapping myself up in this place of, like, I'm having these feelings and, like, that's okay. And I'm going to write about it or talk about it. And I also allowed myself to watch movies or TV shows. And then I also turned them off and sat on the couch and, like, just felt all the feelings that I was having. And then the last pillar that he talks about is communal, like those communal conversations, talking about grief with other people and how it's really lost on our society nowadays, because we're so afraid of grief or talking about it or talking about loss. And there were these ritual practices that people always had and definitely still have in other cultures where, you know, you get together and you talk about it. You're not trying to, like, fix somebody. You're not trying to, like, fix a problem. Yes. You're just talking about loss because everybody experiences it. And I highly recommend for anyone that's going through anything or just wants to, you know, to listen to an amazing podcast. Francis's episode was just, like, wow, just really blew me away. And I'm going to go and talk a little bit now about, like, the day before I went. So there were 2 days. It was Friday and Saturday where I stayed home. And then Sunday I woke up and I just felt better. I felt rested and I felt really, like, kind of in this, like, really peaceful, floaty place. But, like, I felt good. Like, I felt like I wanted to leave home that day. And the kids wanted to go for a walk on the beach. And so we went to Malibu with Eric's mom and dad, and we got something to eat and we went for a walk on the beach. And I sent Teresa, like, pictures that day from the beach because it was so beautiful. The light was beautiful. The water on my feet was, like, it was so grounding and refreshing. And I was looking out at the water, and, like, Eric and Wyatt were surfing and paddling around in the water. And I just stood with Winter, and we, like, made all these beautiful designs in the sand. And Esme, she was in all the tide pools and she was, like, bringing me things. And Eric went out, I think, on a kayak with his dad. And it was just, like, amazing. It was such a healing, incredible experience. And at that point, the bleeding had slowed down, and I just felt in this really peaceful place of, like, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know if there's going to be this, like, really shocking surprise moment where, they're going to be like, oh yeah, everything's fine. The baby's still there and there's a heartbeat and like, I don't know why you're bleeding. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was this or that or something else. And, or is it going to be this mm-hmm. moment of like, there isn't anything in there anymore because so much came out. And so I don't know. I just didn't know. I was like, I'm just going to let go. And we went to bed that night again, like, you know, I snuggled with Eric pretty much every night where we would just hold each other and talk. And I just like took some breaths and was just like, okay, like, you know, tomorrow, we're going to find out tomorrow. It feels like it's been ages since this started. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow's going to be the answer, you know? And so, and I slept great. I slept great every night, which is so funny that I wrote you that in the message. But I think it's a testament to like, I wasn't in this place of like fear or worry or anxiety. I was in a place of like surrender, I guess. And, mm-hmm. So that night, you know, we got up the next morning and my appointment was super early and it was like the same time that the kids had to be at school and Eric's mom and dad were going to the airport. And so our plan was that like, I was going to go and then Eric was going to meet me, afterwards. And so, and I needed, our nanny was out of town. And so I needed him to like take all the kids to school and then I knew that whatever the information I would have after, we could have it together, you know, and be together, mm-hmm. he and I. And so I went to the doctor's office. I went inside. I kind of knew what ultrasound technician was going to be there because I just had this feeling on the way there that it was going to be this woman, Jasmine. And she's like somebody who I've seen throughout all of my pregnancies and she just has this really warm energy. And so when I saw her, I was like, yep, I knew it. I just had this feeling. And I went into her and she was like, you know, tell me what's going on. And so I was telling her and she was like, okay, well, it's okay. We will check this out right away. She's like, let me grab the doctor. And so she ran and grabbed the doctor and he came in and, you know, and I laid back and I felt like my heart was racing. And I have to say that before I got in there that morning, I called my friend Anna and I was like talking to her on the way there. And I was very much in this like place of maybe hope and also understanding like if that was my body doing the work. So I'm just saying that because I was still feeling like some hopeful energy, even walking into it that mm-hmm. day after all those days. So yeah, I laid on the bed and then, you know, she like put the ultrasound. It was like the one that goes inside of you, that ultrasound wand. And I could tell, I knew right away, I wouldn't look at the screen because at the beginning of it, I just sort of like looked straight ahead, but I saw the doctor move from one side of the bed to the other. And I was like, oh, he's going to get a closer look. And then he said, yeah, it does look like there was a pregnancy in here. And I looked at the screen and like, there really wasn't anything left. It was like maybe a blood clot left, but like there wasn't anything else in there. And I was like staring at the screen. I went from the top corner down to the left, to the right, to up again and over and over and over with my eyes. And I was like looking for anything that was like a heartbeat to say, mm-hmm. no, it's still happening. Like, oh, surprise, you know, oh, wait, we didn't see this.
It was twins. Yeah.
Yeah. It was twins. One of them, you know, didn't make it or like whatever it was. I was just looking for something and it wasn't there. And then I was like, okay, this is not happening. And then he was like, well, you know, he was really so lovely and warm and calm and comforting and telling me like, all right, we'll talk about like all of this in my office. And then I got dressed and Jasmine came over to me and she like gave me a really big hug and I just started to cry. And, she was so lovely. It was so lovely. Like she was so sweet. And she's like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, thank you. And then I went into my doctor's office and we talked through everything, you know, about like you know, just logistics of like what's the next steps are. And like, there's still some blood and blood clot in there. So like, should I take the medicine that you put inside of you to help clear everything out? And just those kind of questions. And so we discussed that. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go. And I got up, you know, to leave. And of course I was writing Eric at the same time. And I have to tell this part of the story because it's such a yes. It's such an interesting place that you're in when you do find out like the final answer and you are in this like stage of grief. I went to the counter to check out with one of the nurses, and I looked at me, and this is a very big office, okay? So there's like a lot of people, a lot of nurses, and you know, so she looked at me and she was like, "And okay, so what were you here for?" And I was like, "I was here for an appointment this morning with the, you know, this doctor." And then she was like, "Okay, what did the doctor tell you?" And I was like, "That's a weird question," is what I was thinking in my head, right? But I was like, "Well, he told me, you know, well, I was here, I was," and she goes, "Well, what did he tell you?" And I was like, "Well,
oh God,
I was here for pregnancy loss." And then she said, she looked at me, she looked up from her keyboard and she looked right in my eyes and she goes, "You had a miscarriage like today?" And I said, "Yeah." And I, immediately burst into tears. And I was just like, I was leaving there just kind of wanting to quickly check out. And I was like, I don't want anyone to look at me and I don't want to look at anyone. I just want to be in my car so bad. Mm-hmm. But I knew I had to check out. And then she looked at me after I said that. And she was like, okay, I'm going to cancel your next appointment, which was my appointment to see the baby's heartbeat. And I was like, yeah. Okay. And I was just like fully crying and she was like, "Okay, you're done." And I was like, "Yeah." And I like opened the door and walked into the hallway and I looked down the hallway and there was like people waiting at the elevator and I was like on the verge of sobs. So I ran to the stairway and opened the door and went into the stairwell and then just started crying, like full on crying. And I was just having this feeling of like, I don't want anyone to see me or talk to me or look at me or like, I don't know why. I just was wanted to be alone so bad, but I needed to get two blocks to my car too. And so I cried in the stairwell and then I walked down the stairs, passing by people while I'm in tears, passing by three people on the sidewalk as I'm going to my car. And I got into my car and shut the door. And I called Eric and I told him everything and he was like, "I'm coming to get you." And I was like, no, I'm going to meet you. I'll meet you at home. Like we had planned, you know, I was like, "I'm going to meet you at home." And, I just sat and I looked out the window and I just was frozen. I couldn't move. I just sat there and I was like, everything was going through my head. Everything. I had lived in a floaty place for days, but this was the moment where I was like, yeah, it's confirmed, you know? Mm-hmm. And I felt frozen in time. Like I just couldn't pick my arms up and put them on the steering wheel. And I was like, I sat there for a while and Eric was calling me again and was like, "Please, can I just come get you?" And I was like, I'm coming home now. And so I drove home to him and then together we were able to like cry and process and talk and everything. I told him about the nurse and he was like so protective of me. I think that was the biggest thing that whole weekend. I mean, I even left out the part where that weekend someone came up to me and I had told them like I had just had a pregnancy loss and the person had said to me, "Do you think it's because of your age?" And and I said, "No, I don't." And I hadn't even thought about that. And I was like, wow, like I really wish that person hadn't said that. But then at the same time, I was like, I don't feel like it's that. So many women go through this at all stages of life. And I just felt like really perplexed by that question. And Eric was furious. I mean, he wanted to call that person immediately. He was so protective. And I was like, don't do it. I was like, don't engage right now, because we're both in such like a vulnerable place of, you know, mm-hmm. And I was like, don't worry about it. It's okay. And I did find myself a couple of times needing reassurance that it wasn't about my age. Like I did ask my doctors, do you think it's because of my age? And he was like, no, not at all. You're so, like, you're so healthy. And like your body's like, look at you. You're so fertile. And like all these, he was just so like immediately reassuring. And I mean, I asked Eric and I asked, you know, I needed like that reassurance. Another thing that I forgot that I left out that I need to say is that I also wrote to Abby, who we had on our podcast. I wrote her because mm-hmm. through Nikki, I wrote her and asked her questions as it was all happening. And she was she's the midwife, Abby Dittiken. And she was so amazing writing me these beautiful things back and then checking on me. And she's like, I'm not even my care provider, you know? So I just felt mm-hmm. so held by her in such an amazing way. And I'm so grateful for that. And also by my friends who, you know, I'm writing Teresa and the poor thing is on set and she's like crying in her trailer. Pulling cards. And I'm writing, you know, my friend Anna and my girlfriend Casey's calling me every day. Like immediately my, you know, girlfriends are sending food and donuts and things that actually were just so beautiful. And, you know, I have this friend, new mom friend, who wrote me this message of like, I know a lot of times people want to say like, it's going to be okay, but I just want you to like know that I'm here for all the things. Like I love you and I'm here for you and I'm with you and all of it, the sadness, like as you're going through it all. And then my girlfriend Beati, I had written her and I was just like in this place of, I was like, I feel like I've been taking everyone on this roller coaster, this like life roller coaster, and I feel bad about it. Like, I feel like I'm taking everyone on this like journey over the last month that I feel bad. It's like, feels like so much that I'm taking people on. And she was like, oh my God, Sarah, like, I want to be there with you through all of it. Like, I love you. I want to be with you through all of it. And I was just like, it just was so, it's so that thing that author Francis was talking about is your community, like the people that are around you having these conversations and not shoving them down, talking about grief and talking about the stuff that we're going through is so important, not only for our journey, our healing journey, but also for the journey of people around us. And to feel held and loved in that way is really special. And honestly, it was just like such a gift for me and for Eric and, you know, through the whole process.
When you were going through this, I think before I realized that you had landed in a place of such surrender and acceptance, I think the initial human response is to like fix and heal and find answers, right? And so immediately yes. I went into like, I reached out to my girlfriend, Claire, who has had many pregnancy losses, as well as a subchorionic hematoma, I think they're called. And I was like, what would that look like? Like, has that ever shown up for you at this stage? Like, how long were you bleeding for? Like, could it be? And so I immediately like went out to my community of women who had gone through pregnancy loss to like siphon answers and experiences. And so that I could try and apply it to what Sarah was going through. And then as I was reading these messages and listening to, we were sending voice texts, Sarah and I, back and forth to each other. I immediately, like, the need for answers, it fell away. I just knew that I would show up for her in whatever way she needed me, but without, like, my need to fix, which is like such a tendency. Mm-hmm. And it was like this beautiful place of like, oh, we're just going to be present in this experience and ride the waves as they come up. This is a part of life. And as we always say, you can't experience the highs without experiencing the lows. And my good friend, Brooke Stone, who we're going to have on the podcast, she's had a number of losses. And I was talking to her about what Sarah had gone through, and she lost her little son, Woods. I believe she was around 19, 20 weeks. And we're going to have her on the podcast to talk about that experience. But she shared with me that it doesn't matter if you're 4 weeks along or 6 weeks along or 21 weeks along. It's the idea, exactly what Sarah said, the idea of who this little person is, and you give them in your head, you create an image of like what they look like, and they've got these color eyes and their hair's like this. And you play out this little life movie of like the first time the siblings are holding this baby and what that feels like. And oh, this birth was only 4 hours, and you play it all out in your mind because that's just a part of what we do. And so it's actually that idea of like being okay or finding a place of acceptance of the dream ending, that dream, that narrative that we've created in our mind, understanding mm-hmm. that this was something that our mind has created, and we're breaking up with the idea. So Brooke explained as, it doesn't matter if you're 4 weeks along, it doesn't matter if you're 5 weeks along, 7 weeks along, if you're further along, and she's had all these different experiences, it comes back to the same feeling of grieving the idea of who that little baby was going to be and how they change the shape of your life and the dynamic, your family dynamic. And so I think that's a really important thing to point out, because oftentimes you have those people being dismissive of like, oh, well, they're only 5 weeks long. Oh, they're only 6 weeks. Oh, was it a first trimester loss? Okay, cool. Well, thank God it wasn't a stillbirth, or thank God it wasn't this, or thank God. We're so quick to like lessen someone's experience of grief. And it was just a really beautiful thing to hear from my friend Brooke, who's experienced the whole gamut of pregnancy losses.
That is definitely like, when somebody is doing that, it's like they don't want to go there, you know, like mm-hmm. they're not wanting to go there to that place. And so it's, you know, them saying like, oh, well, this is, it's like a fixing mentality. Oh, we're going to, you know, let's keep moving and like everything. And, you know, after listening to this grief podcast, like there was even a moment where, you know, Anderson Cooper has some of his callers, he played some of their messages. And one of them was a woman who said, like, I had a miscarriage and I was told, like, you know, it's fine. We got to buck up and like, keep going. And like every, you know, it's, you'll, it's fine. It was early, like whatever that is. And I think that the culture that we're in, like, really has this this feeling of needing to like bootstrap and let's just keep moving and like, you know, and we're not actually, you know, what the author says from the book that I was talking about is he talks about how we have to be willing to turn towards the grief and really face it and be present. And he talks about like little journal writings, like where you can just like write a little bit about it. So you're sort of like tapping in and tapping out and tapping in and tapping out of the grief, so it's not completely overwhelming. But, you know, I think any loss that you have in life, like, will take you back to other moments of maybe unexpressed, like, grief, you know? So it's like we were talking about my biopsy reminding me of like a miscarriage or, you know, and that's so interesting because as this all was happening, I, of course, like always think about my dad. It like, there's always stuff that brings me back to like losing my dad. And in this moment, you know, with the pregnancy loss, like it brings up these feelings, and the feelings are like unexpressed love or loss of expectation or like these things. And so I do think it's really good to write about it, to talk about it, to be in this space with other people, and communicate. And so I have to tell all of you guys that like, it wasn't like a normal practice for me before, but the last 2 weeks, like as I've run into people, you know, if people have been writing me or talking to me, or like if I dropped the ball on something, or like I ran into someone at school and people are like, how are you? How have you been? I haven't seen you. And I'm like, well, I actually had a pregnancy loss. And I'm doing okay. Like it was hard. It made for like a very, you know, long journey from Thanksgiving and to finding out. But I was like, you know, I'm doing good. And like, I keep talking about it and I keep feeling this feeling of like talking about it is going to normalize. Like, it's okay to talk about things that are not just happy all the time. Like, you know, and it also had like people show up for you. Like I had a friend, the mom friend I was talking about, Janae, she like showed up to my house and like reached over the fence and like put this most beautiful care package. And it was full of like chocolate and bone broth and like all these gorgeous, amazing things that just like made me smile and nourished me. And like, I don't know. It's just like such a beautiful expression of love and thoughtfulness. And I just think that for anybody out there who's had this experience or, you know, is in a place of the in-between or, you know, maybe has an unfinished story like I do, just know that you're not alone. And grief is something that we all carry. It's just that sometimes we bury it so deep that it like comes out on different days, comes out in like such a different way. And I almost want to ask that maybe we allow ourselves to feel that and talk about it a little bit more and say, grief is a part of life. It's what makes us human. Loss of expectation, sadness. It's also part of joy and happiness and love and excitement and gratitude and all of those things. They're all combined together. When you feel one side deeply, you feel the other side even deeper, and it breaks you open in a really beautiful way. And my story is not finished. I don't have more to tell you right now, except that I'm in it like everyone else. And I'm also okay. And I'm grateful. And I'm grateful for my friends, for my family, for you guys, for my kids, for the sun that like trickles into my bedroom every day and I see it. And it just brings me so much joy. I'm still in that place. Anyway, that's my story.
Thank you, Sarah, for telling that beautiful, heartfelt story. I'm just sitting in all the feelings with you, and I just feel so grateful because I know what this is going to mean to people when they're listening to this, and I know how deeply this is going to impact people. So thank you for your vulnerability and be willing. I love your willingness to share this without the news on the other side. And guess what? I'm now pregnant. Thank you for being in it. I'm willing to share it without the update yet.
Daisies, we love you all. Thank you for coming on this journey with us and for joining us in this talk today. And we're just so grateful for all of you. And then the story is still unfolding.
To be continued.
To be continued.
We love you guys.
We love you, Daisies. And you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Bye.
Bye.